New Year, new me, 2025, and fireworks. I just want to stop, take a moment to say thank you to Travis for covering for me last week. I took a little bit of time off. But it is 2025, and we are in a place of transition. Debbie said to you, I'm in transition. You are in transition, whether you know it or not. And the next 25 weeks will be special for me, but they also are going to be very important for you. So you need to pay attention, be here when you can, and support those who are trying to lead this church in the way that God wants it to go. How many of you made a resolution? Anybody? Very good. I'm glad to hear that. I think it's, you know, like 2 weeks from this Friday, it's called Quitter's Day. That's when we throw our resolutions out the window. But I do want to talk about that, that if we are in Christ, we are new creations in Christ. And in change, that Christ can make it up. While I was off, I drove back to my hometown of East Liverpool. And I moved up into the cemetery where my mom and dad and my grandparents were buried. And I did what I do around Christmas time there. And I got back in the car and I circled out. Now, their graves are out at the far end from the entrance to the cemetery. They're way out there. We were waiting for my dad to die. There was nobody else out there. And now it's pretty full. I'll tell you something I've noticed across the years. As I drive through that cemetery, and you've done this, you've driven through a cemetery, you read the names, I know more and more of those people whose names are on those stones. And I did a slow drive, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. What the hell? I didn't know that. What did he do? And all that stuff. More and more of them. It used to be this way. Before it was all names, but now it's people that I know. Took note of that. Pulled out of the cemetery and decided to take a stroll through the downtown of East Liverpool. So I went downtown Liverpool, went down two main streets, 56th Street, the whole length. And I was really impressed with what they're doing in East Liverpool to try to clean. I guess I should stop and tell you that, you know, back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, when I was growing up, that was a steel town. We had pottery there. That's what we were known for. It was a steel town. And if you ever went to a steel town, you know as well as I do that it could be pretty messy, particularly in the 60s and 70s. Now, particularly specifically, if you went to Pittsburgh, you know it for sure. Downtown was dirty as you drove there. All the town that you drove through smelled. They had that red-looking, rusty coke smoke flying out of those furnaces. And it was a hazard. It almost makes you want to say, so no wonder his dad had cancer. Because we breathed that stuff, and we lived in it all those years back and forth in and out of Pittsburgh. When I was a kid, if you went down to the Ohio River, you would find an oil sheet on the river every day. I don't mean, you know, we make a big deal when there's oil spill. Now, I want to tell you, I swam in that stuff, but I'm not talking about a little thin thing. I'm talking about oil on the river, like you never forget. All that's gone. If you ever been downtown Pittsburgh, they went through in the 80s what was called the Renaissance. And I was going to seminary after that. I'd drive in, and it was a beautiful place to drive out of at night. I didn't go to seminary at night back then. But they just redid the whole thing. These little boys were part of that thing that happened in the late 70s, where all the jobs were away, and they just left. And a friend of mine, he ran for mayor recently, and he won. And all the people that are in the cemetery that I went to high school with have kind of jumped behind him, all my friends, and they're trying to help to make the city better. And I went down through the town, and I need to tell you, it's the first time in years that I saw this complaint. It's the first time I went through town and I saw it decorated beautifully. Here, this shows up on the screen, right, is a picture that a buddy of mine drew of the Thompson House. And he's sort of, now, if you look close, you'll see the city's Christmas tree is behind the fence. That is not because they're rioting in this little pool. That is because the Thompson House right here is about to undergo a big refurbishment. It's a very special house. We have Thompson Park. We have the Thompson House, and then, oh, that's the Thompson Building, I'm sorry, and the Thompson Building. And that's all connected to a guy named Will Thompson that was a songwriter, a hymn writer. He lived in East Liverpool, and his house is there on the hillside. He wrote the song along the
Must have been big money in hymns. Must have been some big money in hymns.
So the Thompsons were big, but I look at this picture, and you may not see it in term history, where a lot of my childhood's right there. There was a pan shop there, there was an Army Navy store there, across the street from the left-hand side of that picture where I bought Janice's engagement ring and our wedding bands. Everything on that street means something to me, and I'm just moved that somebody decided we're going to make a difference. And all those friends of mine are struggling, they're pushing, they're proud, they're having meetings, they're getting grants. One guy in town, he went away to the Naval Academy at his time, and maybe he came back and he started a business. It's up house over West Virginia. He's moving it, and he's learned that he's pretty 70 jobs with it. In a town that has no income tax base, that's what they know. So they're really trying hard to get the place straightened up. I want to talk to you today about a big makeover, a really big makeover. Now, in the interest of being honest, I already told you that, you know, we were creating God's image with purpose and God put us here, but we failed the task. For you golfers, here's the definition of a mulligan. Now, the first thing you'll see there is a skin-made model of a new wheel. That's not what I'm talking about. The next one I've got highlighted in bold type. An extra stroke allowed after a poor shot, not a count of a poor shot. That's what we're about, folks. You know that?
There was a. There's been music that's run that are cheap and easy. This is just the next generation.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Can rip it. It's always been difficult.
So this is it'll just
but it's reading
file, and then you can tag it with different stuff.
How do you get it into file?
It'll read anything that's some sort of movie file.
What is that you're asking? Maybe you're talking about commercial movies, just home movies.
You know the Bible says that we love him.
But I can know if you're going to go in front of using other software, so
you
can get something else. You can use a Ripple.
You know that the Bible says that he loved us.
Cool. Yeah. So that's my next goal.
Disney VHS.
While he was still in the sand, while he was still in the sand, he created
to do VHS right now.
DVD. You know that Disney Plus.
You can trust it.
For God to love the world, that he gave his own son, whoever believes in him should not perish, right? But have eternal life. Not only did he die for us, while he was in the sand, he was all of us. Loved us. So we die out to self sometimes so that Jesus can live through us. Listen, if you would, to the first verse that you read today. The love of Christ controls us. Because we concluded this: one died for all, therefore we all die. You might read that and say, what does that mean? What does it mean? We know, we can discern that it says Jesus died for all, right? I just told you that he loved us before, while we were still sinners. He loves all of us. He particularly loves you and me, but he also loves everyone, and he particularly loves the church. But what does it mean when it says he died for all? He died for us because he loved us. Then he goes on to say, therefore we all die. For a Christian, what does that mean? It means that we die to something. And the something that we die to is the sin. Remember, I told you that it started here about the Renaissance in Pittsburgh in about 1980. What I didn't tell you is that Renaissance had been done before World War II. But they did a specific effort in the downtown area in the late 70s, early 80s. But they recognized just before World War II that all this pollution and all this urbanization, they used to get fired from the middle of Pennsylvania. 4 miles from where I grew up. They used to get brooms out every morning and sweep the dirt out of the street that came with those steel mills. I mean, they were laid dead. They realized this can't be good. This can't be healthy. And those dilapidated buildings and all of the acid rain that came and all the stuff that came with all of that, it was so bad they decided we've got to change something. When we recognize that we are sinners, it's kind of like those buildings, it's kind of like that dust and that dirt and breathing all that stuff in. We recognize that something's got to change. Paul asked a question in Romans 6. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? And his answer is this: by no means. How can we, who die to sin, how can still be effect? When it says one died for all, therefore all will die, he died on the cross shedding his blood because he loved us. He died to sin. We died in that old way, that polluted way, that dirty way. We died to that so that we can live for him. Listen to something else Paul said in Romans. We know that Christ, who was raised from the dead, will never die soon. Death is the one that has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So we must also consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What would happen if we did anything? As in this new year, we were to be sure that we were such people who wanted to so love me and love those around me that we would be dead to all the pressures, all the hang-ups, all the hurt, all the things that we talked about. What if we said that we were going to be so loving and giving to those around us? Paul says, don't let Jesus have slaves to unrighteousness, for Christ has freed you slaves to unrighteousness. Look at some of that verse that Paul starts off here. One has died for all, therefore we all die. Remember why Jesus died for all, therefore reconciliation. Remember why in the body of Christ and in the community. Learn to love each other and to be forgiven and to be new and to be changed. And to be the love of Christ and to be changed. That's the love of Christ can be saved. That's what happened. He died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died for Christ. I want you to think about it. From now on, I need to go to the next slide, I'm sorry.
I cannot get rid of that.
From now on, therefore, we just are in the middle one, or you reflect. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him no longer.
10 seconds.
Therefore, if anyone is to Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away.
Because this is
the new. There's just
a lot of
that. Not only when we serve Jesus, when we die,
I need to start saying,
so he was present.
Yes.
Did he
is what we really need is we need just some insulation around our home to kill.
We are ready to make the newness of life. It's a different way of living. Paul will say to the church later, we were buried with him by baptism in the dead, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. Think about that for a minute. We die to him, we're raised with him. Yes. What are we raised to? I've been trying since May. May 1st, Jim and I were in Myrtle Beach on vacation, and I started this thing called the, I had a heart problem back in January, February, March. Started this way of eating. It's based upon a doctor in Cleveland Clinic, his name's Eskelson. Dr. Eskelson says that you can not only stop heart disease, but you can reverse it, okay? Not only stop it, but you can reverse it, and he's proven it. But it's all done with dying before you eat. You know, May 1st, we were down here at Myrtle Beach. I remember we went out to eat one night, and I got broiled fish, wasn't fried, and I said, today's the day. And I got into that, and I did real well with it. I did really, really well with it. I think I was reading stuff, you know. And then I realized, see, I bought my book. He had an updated book. But not an updated book. And his point is to stop it, you have to eat. You can't eat meat. You can't eat dairy. You can't eat fish. You can't eat chicken. His big phrase is if it has a face or a mother, you can't eat. So I wiped all that stuff out. But then he says you can't eat any type of dairy, any type of oil. Even olive oil, y'all think that's good, or avocado oil, no oil whatsoever. That was in the first book. Then you get into the second book, and he says, well, by the way, you can't eat any sweet stuff. Not only can I eat sweet stuff, you can't even have maple syrup. You know, I'm raising my hand saying, that's natural. That doesn't have a face. But you can't have it. So do away with that, you know. And then I'm reading here not long ago. He says, well, you got to eat 6 times a day dark leafy greens that have been boiled with balsamic vinegar. You have to chew it 6 times a day. I'm like, come on, why are we doing this? Well, that's because it helps you fuel your body with nitrous oxide, which fills the endothelial cells in your veins and makes them not sticky. So I started eating my greens, right? I'm doing that. And then, lo and behold, he said, you know, we're right into that process. Right there in the middle of the month. I can't brush my teeth anymore. And I can't get fluoride treatments on my teeth because it's going to ruin what I'm trying to do. I also said they're going to get up 12 o'clock in the morning.
It's a quack.
It's a quack. I'm going to serve Jesus. And then think that that's what God is. Then a temptation comes your way here. And then a roadblock comes here. Pretty soon you start thinking this new life looks awful tough. We start trying to do it ourselves instead of trusting God to do it for us. And that's where we get all that stuff. For the record, Thanksgiving, I ate turkey. I chewed on every piece of that one. That thing in the face. I saw it. And I have what you said, so you pray for me to get back on track.
I call the carnivore diet.
Christ. Paul says, from now on, don't look at people according to the flesh. Once look at Jesus as if he was just a man. That's not who he is. And if you are in Christ, you are no longer who he is. Something's changed. You're new. And that new creation will have the old to pass away. And everything will become new. That means because he loved us, he loved like he did. Because he died for us, we died for ourselves sometimes like he did. And because he rose from the dead, we are risen with him. And that's what motivates us to be able to do it. And when we stumble and fall, we go back to the foot of the cross and ask him one more time for that which shall be. So the bottom line is pretty simple. Life in Christ prepares us for living in Christ. I mentioned to you earlier today that those first two songs we sang came to, at least the first one, that came to in heaven. That the choir will sing in heaven. All of creation will sing. You know, I don't like to say that, you've heard me say it, I'm sure you know this, that the only thing Christianity is about is getting to heaven. That's why the Church of Christ is being told we need to reconcile not only to God but to each other. We need to do what we pray, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven here and right now. But we also need to know that not only do we live through him, not only do we live our lives with him, not only do we live our lives for him, but at the end of the day, that's why the bottom line is this. The life we live here prepares us for what we'll do there. And that will be to worship him in perfection through all eternity. Scripture says, we don't
just
know what we shall be, but we know that when we get here, we'll be like him. Yeah, we stop.
We start communion. Just
we stop. We stop. The love of Christ comes home. And so we get back up. We trust in his grace.
We have to catch at the end of the song. What's that? We have to catch up to the end of the song. Stop it.
Yeah.
Where's the song going to keep looping? It'll just, it's long enough that we can look at the air before it's all done.
We're going to share a little bit with you this morning. I'm going to ask you to join with me on the screen, I believe. Well, I'm not really sure. I think the responses are in the art of the album. Wait, maybe more than you're not.